So here we are, week three of the Abundance Project. Are you ready to just like keep unpacking the idea of abundance in your life? You know, I've actually shied away a little bit from the word abundance when talking about our prosperity teachings because I think sometimes it's taken as just more stuff. You know, in the consumer society, it's like an invitation for, well, it's okay, it's abundance. And it's not that it's like resources aren't good or money isn't good. It's all of that, right? But it's also sustainable abundance that we're after really here. Yeah. Yeah. And sustainable abundance means not the temporal stuff so much as what's in here, right? This is the permanent generator of abundance and all good things. And so that, if you can frame that whenever you're drifting into, oh yeah, I think I'll go get one of those in every array and color and texture, you know, like you might like reel yourself in a little bit and just say, you know, what do I really want to generate here? You know, maybe it is a purchase, but maybe it is also something of purchase that is spiritually grounded in all your values. So that was just a little infomercial on the word abundance. I'm still going to use the word because it's all over our series, and it's a wonderful word. I just wanted to put that out there. So I'm curious, how many of you fear or at least have a I'd rather not attitude about public speaking? Anybody? Oh my gosh, look at the hands. Yeah, it's very common. Although quite a few of you did not raise your hands, so opportunities abound here. But because so many people fear this, they say that public speaking that is second only to the fear of death in our society in general. And apparently Jerry Seinfeld says it's the reverse, that death is actually second to public speaking. Because he says, you know, that means if you're at a memorial service, and Carl told me this between services, you'd rather be the person in the box than the person given the sermon. Puts it in perspective, doesn't it? You know, I used to feel that way too. Yeah, it was to my utter surprise that I got guided to go into ministerial school. And then when I arrived, I found out I had to do this thing a lot. And I didn't want to do it at all. I didn't like the spotlight on me. I didn't, you know, there was nothing about it that sounded appealing to me. It sounded terrifying and horrible. And it also sounded like, you know, what am I doing here? What? You know, and I would think about people who spoke and I'd think about, oh, they're so funny, that people that I really loved to listen to were funny or really interesting and smart, and they had all kinds of things to say that like inspired me. What in the world will I ever come up with to say? And to fill 20 minutes of time? Now you can't shut me up, right? Yeah, he's already doing this, right? But, you know, by doing it, because I would either have to drop out of ministerial school or do it, right? By actually doing it, I found out I kind of like this. And then people started telling me they liked what I said and it was helping their lives. And I liked it even more because it gave me a sense of purpose. And it has been such a blessing in my life to get over it and just do it. And that's really the essence of a big part of our message today, is that. Had I waited until I believed I was ready, until I felt confident, until I was smart or funny enough or meaningful enough or whatever I filled in with all the stuff that, you know, other speakers had, until that happened, you know what would be happening had I not acted? I'd still be waiting. I never would have met you. So, you know, it's so much that happens by the very act, by the very movement, by the willingness to do something. Clarity comes for us. Recognition comes for us. A realization that spirit knows better than our small mind does of what is best for us what is possible for us and what will be good for us to share with others. That's all that abundance and unlimited potential that's sitting inside of us, yet to be tapped. And if we're sitting on the sidelines waiting until we have enough faith, enough hope, enough whatever, fill in the blank, to do it, it will never happen. So that's what we're talking about today, is this two abundance blind spots of the five. We covered three of them last week that are part of our Abundance Project series. And the first one is one that we say a lot in Unity and New Thought, right? That you got to believe. You got to believe in order to receive, right? Isn't that something that it's a pretense that we have, right? This idea, the spiritual edict, that you have to believe it. You have to have the faith in order to really make it happen, which causes so many of us to just sit around waiting till we have enough. Let's look at the blind spot, and it's, so the blind spot is you have to believe to receive, and then the countering abundant truth is you have to act and ask to receive. And the asking is asking spirit, is asking for help, is an invitation to open ourselves to spirit so we can be in that co-creative process together. Derek Rydell, who's the author of this work, says this about what happens to so many of us spiritual aspirants. Legions of aspirants, he says, sit on the side of the path, praying, affirming, and waiting for their beliefs and feelings to be at a certain level before they can start moving toward what they really want. Yeah? Can you relate to that? Yeah, well, we're not waiting anymore, okay? We're not going to sit around waiting anymore. He says this is the ultimate weight loss program. That's what we're up for. So let's look at the two aspects of this. So acting. What is this acting thing about? He says that one of the things that happens is we get into this emotional reasoning process. This too happens in our spiritual teachings, right? We put a lot of value on how we feel. What we feel, what we think, what we believe. These are the engines, right, of co-creating a life. That's principle number three in Unity. So we talk about these things a lot, and we give a lot of credence to our feelings. For good reasons. Feelings are to be honored. Feelings can tell us when we're in and out of alignment with spirit. Feelings can point us to our heart's desires. There's all kinds of good things about feelings. Yet, we might freeze ourselves from action because I just don't feel like it. Right? You ever get that to that place? I just don't feel like doing it, whatever it is. I don't feel like doing it. And so I'm going to honor my feelings because I don't feel like doing it. And so there's just this pattern of inaction that happens because in the moment we have these feelings where we don't want to do something, and then after a while it becomes very habitual. He said that Derek has writing clients, and so he'll sit with his writing clients and they'll be saying, I just feel so paralyzed. And I'll say, oh my gosh, have you gone to a doctor? You know, we get so serious about our feelings, right? I've got to, you know, honor and to the point that it causes these kinds of problems. He says to the client, get out your computer. So right in the session, the person gets out the computer, open it up and start writing. This is like, all right, they start writing. He said, every time the person after a little while gets engaged in the activity and starts writing something that they find has some meaning for them. How many of us can relate to that? I don't feel like exercising, right? I don't feel like going outside. I don't feel like whatever it is. I don't feel like eating something healthy. Well, you can eat ice cream for the rest of your life, but the rest of your life might be a little shorter. And so it's that knowing, right, that the don't feel like isn't the ultimate. That's putting more power in our feeling nature than it is in our spirituality. And in our spirituality is where all the unlimited potential is lying, is waiting, lying in wait, essentially, to be unleashed. Another part of this acting is that an inadvertent side effect of it is that, or this believing to receive, rather, is that this idea that I have to believe in order to receive influences us to be victims of our current mindset. So if I don't have, you know, if I'm not there yet, whatever there is, whatever you've decided is there, then we're in this loop where we're victims to our own mindset. And so then that allows us to go from not only I don't feel like it to I can't because I'm not there yet, because I haven't arrived. It's kind of, do you remember the man at the pool in Bethesda in John 5? He's sitting by this pool, and the pool at Bethesda is known to be these healing waters, probably natural spring that we would know now, right? Because the idea was when the waters are stirred that you can go in and be healed. And so this man's been sitting there. He's been paralyzed for 38 years, and he's been sitting by the water. Now, some believe some of the stories were that an angel would come down and stir the waters, and then, you know, everybody gets in while it's still stirred up, and that's where the healing stops. And then when it gets still again, well, you can't get healed anymore. So Jesus comes along, and he says to the man, do you want to be healed? And the man gives him every reason why he can't be, right? Anybody ever do that? And he says, oh, sir, I can't get, you know, the waters get stirred, but I can't get in, and, you know, fast enough, somebody else gets in front of me, and then I don't have anybody to help me in. And, you know, he probably would have had more had Jesus let him go on and on and on about all the reasons why he couldn't, right? And what does Jesus do? He bypasses all of that. You don't need the stirring water. You don't even need anybody to help you get in or anything else, any other excuse you were going to give me. Take up your mat and walk. What is he saying? He's saying, you have it in you. You have the abundance in you. You have the wholeness in you. You have the health in you. Just act. Yeah, just act. That's all you got to do, act. You know, we used to say act as if, right? It's a kind of act as if. And so it's whatever that is, yes, act. It's principle number 5 in unity. Live the principles. It takes us to live them. We can't just say, I theoretically believe that God is everywhere present, and I think it's a good idea that those folks at Unity say, I am divine, and some days I feel that way, and some days I don't feel that way at all, and that's just being human, right? And there is this concept of co-creating life, and yeah, that sounds pretty good, and prayer and meditation always sounds like a good idea. Don't always do it. And then there's this fifth one we don't talk about a lot, but it's like nothing's going to happen unless we do number 5, right? Because it has to take doing. I mean, this is the beauty of being a human physical being on a spiritual walk. Is that we have a physical world and a body and an experience that says, I can do, I can touch, I can create, I can shape, I can make, I can feel through me and co-create through me. That's powerful stuff. That's the part where we honor the physicality that we have because it's a vehicle for the spirit. It allows us to feel and to know and to experience that I am that we chanted about a little bit earlier in the truth, in the walk, in the experience of daily life. So yes, take up your mat and walk. And what's on that mat? All the reasons why we can't. We've been saying them for 38 plus years, right? Paralyzed by this idea that until I believe, I cannot receive. Not true. Just act. And ask. Because asking also is an invitation to spirit to work with us, to work through us, to open ourselves to it, right? And to allow ourselves to have help. And so we have help by asking. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Right? Knock and the door shall be opened. We know it. We sang it today, which I didn't even know we were going to sing it today. Love it when that happens. What's that? Spirit knew. Spirit always knows. There's always divine order happening here. So there's also, you know, this idea, knock and the door will be opened, right? And there's this implied action you're going to take, and you're going to go knock on doors of opportunity and knock to have your heart's desire be revealed and knock to realize that your dreams or whatever it may be. And so there's a real overt action there. And then in Revelation, it says, listen, I'm standing at the door and knocking. Let me in. And so Spirit itself is saying, I'm hanging around here. I'm sitting here. I'm standing here. I'm waiting for you to call forth. Open the door. That's all you got to do. You don't even have to knock. Just open the door. It's right there. It's here. Open your heart. It's right here. And then we go, oh, you've been standing there all along. And Spirit says, let me in. Let me in. And then in this verse says something else interesting. And we will eat together. Now, if we were just interpreting literally, that would be a little strange. It's like, why does Spirit need to eat? It's a spirit, right? Doesn't no physicality there. But that metaphysics of knowing, of what is that invitation is let's commune together. And when we commune together, we remember and we feel the connection. And when we have that connection, we start to come into the oneness, right? That experience of oneness. Now we're not just two in relationship. We didn't just open the door to some kind of energy beyond us or even from within us, but now we become one. And it's in that communion, in that experience, that then we perceive truth. Then we start to consume truth. Spiritual truth starts to come through us. It might be heard through us or felt through us or seen through us, but it starts, that food, that spiritual food starts to generate in us, and that spiritual food starts to feed us, and we start to digest that spiritual truth. And when we digest that spiritual truth, we have fuel to be the actor of the divine in the world. That's the way to go. Because when we are the actor of the divine in the world, it's like easy street, right? Things do just kind of click along. There's a divine flow that's happening. We're on purpose. We're clear. We feel healthy. We feel whole. Our relationships feel harmonious. We are at peace. Our minds are quiet. Our minds have taken the back seat, or at least the egoic part of the mind has taken the back seat to the divine spirit that is now in charge. And when the divine spirit is in charge, when you put the divine spirit in charge of your life, wow, yes, praise God, get out of the way, because abundance is coming in every which way you could possibly dream of. Whatever abundance it is that you want, now you're in the generator of it. Now you're in the motor of it. Now you're in the experience of it, and things will just chug along in ways that you've never imagined. And I always want to say, it doesn't mean that life won't bring you challenges. Sometimes you might get the biggest challenge of your life when you're in this space. But when that comes to you, it will be so different how you deal with it than it would have been before. Because it's then something you can meet and transform and expand into, which is really what we'll come into in our next blind spot. So finally, I just want to use this analogy to bring the asking and the acting together. That have you ever ridden a pedal assist electric bike? Has anybody ever been on one of those? Yeah, a few of you have. Lisa and Tyler have one. Brenly has one. So the first time I rode it, I sat on the bike. I was like, okay, let's go. You know, I thought it was just going to like cruise me down the road. And then we're just like sitting. It's a big, heavy bike, you know? And it's just like, well, this isn't working. And then Brenly says, you got to pedal. What? I got to pedal? Thought I was going to cruise on this thing. And then you pedal, and the motor engages, and then you start cruising down the road. Right? And that's what's really happening in this whole experience. You got to start pedaling first. And then Spirit will go, okay, you want to go left? Let me help you. You want to go right? You want to go forward? You know, that is the way it works. But otherwise, you're just going to be sitting there on a big, heavy bike going, I wanted to go somewhere. But nothing's happening on my journey. So this brings us to the second, or actually it's the fourth blind spot in the order of the blind spots in the book, but our second and final one for today. And it is, you have to adapt to circumstances. Now, that sounds like a good idea, right? We have to adapt to our circumstances to some degree. We have to be good stewards of our resources, and sometimes we need to be flexible in the face of adversity. But what the problem is with this, and why this becomes an abundance blind spot for us, is because in our adapting, we tend to get in the circumstance and try to meet the circumstance. It's the old meet the problem at the level of the problem. Right? We tend to constrict into the level of the circumstance, whatever it may be, and adapt from there. But instead, the abundant truth is you must expand in the face of contraction and limitation. It seems so counterintuitive to how we're taught and how we behave as humans. But we're actually spiritually called to expand in the moment that a challenge comes our way, a difficult circumstance comes our way. We're not shrinking to fit the circumstance anymore. Because when we do the shrink to fit thing, we actually limit ourselves and even come out the other side of the challenge smaller in a way, more limited, maybe emotionally, mentally, financially, and even spiritually. I mean, not that that's really possible spiritually, but in our conscious understanding of where we are spiritually. So Derek Rydell gives this very concrete example. He says there was a recession, and he has his own business, and his first response to being in a recession was what most of us in our society would do, contract, right? Reduce, cut back. And so he intended to cut back on his charitable donations for a while. Then he went into meditation. He felt a little funny about it, like something didn't feel quite right. And he went into meditation, and he got really clear guidance: double your charitable donations. What? All his colleagues, all his friends, everybody he knew was cutting back, right? Reducing. Why would he double? But he thought, well, you know, I'm signing up for this thing, this abundance project thing that's writing through me, so let me just go ahead and do this. At the end of that period of recession, he had doubled his own income by doubling his charitable donations, and a lot of his colleagues had gone out of business completely. That's the difference, right? If the circumstance comes and we contract and limit ourselves in the face of it, we're just doing this. And this has sort of become life, right? I got this challenge. Oh, I got to meet that. Oh, I got to meet that. I got to meet that. It's not very fun. Anybody have fun doing that? But it's super fun to do it the other way. So how can I expand in the face of this challenge? What can I bring forth? How could this lemon be made into lemonade? You know, it's that idea, right? It's that sense of possibility that we can bring in. When we are in shrink to fit the circumstance kind of space, we get into that place of victim kind of consciousness, right? Life happens to me. And so I just have to meet it wherever, however the wind blows, I'm just going to have to meet it that way. But victor consciousness, the other side of that, is a consciousness that says, oh, no, life happens for me. Life happens through me. Life happens as me. I have an opportunity to reshape this and to look for the blessing and to bring forth the blessing as a result. That's a fun way to live. I'm telling you, that's way more fun. You know this, right? I don't have to tell you. You know this from living it. You know the times that you have expanded in the face of a circumstance or challenge, and you know the times you've contracted, and you know what the results were, you know how it felt, and you know how you came out on the other side. We, in this room, behind the camera, outside, a lot of folks that you know, we came into this life to expand. We came here to be expansive. We didn't come here to adapt to our circumstances. Ugh, would anybody signed up to come? If they said, you're gonna go down to earth, you're gonna lower your dimensional vibration, you're gonna go into this 3D world where the life is pretty dense, there's gonna be all kinds of problems, and your spiritual edict here is adapt. Oh, thanks everyone for sending me. Sign up. Or they say, you know what? There's this big challenge going on. And we want to see if you can take this enormous dimensional, multidimensional being that you are, this, I mean, you can't even, we can't even imagine, you know, we can't even imagine the extreme light and love and truth and peace that we are. I mean, even to get a glimpse is so moving. It's so moving to know the truth of who we are. To just get a little look at it, it's like, what? I'm part of that? Are you kidding me? And that's how we, you know, I believe we were hanging out in that environment. And then somebody said, hey, I got a challenge for you. And your work will be to go into a denser environment where there are big challenges and you may have a little more trouble accessing all the stuff you got access to here. But you just got to remember, all you got to do is expand and you'll be back. Just keep expanding. What does that look like? Opening, right? Acting, asking, inviting, being receptive. All of the stuff, we talk about it all the time. But it isn't until we're in those moments and we shift how we meet something that we really get it. Ah, I just had to pedal, and now I can just cruise down the road. It's so much easier that way. Take relationships in this context too. I like the recession example because it gives it concrete. It gives us, you know, money, something measurable, so we really get it. But, you know, relationships a little bit more amorphous and, you know, messy, right? In a juicy sort of way, right? So with relationships, if you imagine that one person in a relationship, this could be a love relationship, a friendship, doesn't matter, coworker, whatever, any kind of relationship that you're in, you might have somebody at some point in your life who's unhappy. Right, and one. And unhappy specifically with something you said or didn't say, did or didn't do. Anybody ever have this experience? Yeah. I'd be checking your pulse if you hadn't. And so this is kind of the deal, right? So we get those moments, and in those moments, here's the circumstance, right? My partner, my friend, whoever is unhappy with me. And we have a choice. We can adapt to the circumstance, which looks like react, maybe yell, maybe get defensive, very common one, shut down, withdraw, walk out, whatever. You know, we know all those. We don't need to ponder those too much more. They're very familiar, you know. Or we could expand in that moment. Whoa. What does that look like, right? What does that look like? What does that look like for us to bring forth instead something nourishing, something loving, something connecting, something higher that brings us both up to higher ground? We can do this anytime. It's constantly a choice. So what can we do? Pause, right? Pause is really important. This one's really important for me. I have to say it over and over again. Pause. Pause. Yes. Do not react. Respond. Respond takes pause. Breathe. Yep. Breathing is good. All of these, right? We've learned these over time. You know, you are not kids on this path, right? None of us are. We've been around the block a few times. So we know about these things. And so when we do, when we pause, when we breathe, we can ask ourselves a variety of questions that might help us get to the answer. How can I be a bigger channel in this situation? How could I open up and be a bigger channel in this situation? How can I meet this moment with more love and connection that will lift us both up higher to the better outcome I want for our relationship? Or what could I learn from this? And just kind of open up to listen and to learn. So this week I had one of these experiences. And I learned something really valuable about myself. Brenly and I were setting up a tent together. And she got irritated with me. Can you imagine? And I literally thought it was something I said. But when I inquired further what happened, was I learned so much. She said that I was so focused, so intensely focused, that there was absolutely no room for joy in the activity. I don't know if those were her exact words. I'm kind of, you know, she can tell you. Oh, she's nodding. It's close enough. And I realized, I had this big aha. I realized, oh, this is a pattern I have. It's like, get through the mundane task as fast as you can. You know, it's like, no, the pool goes over here. Let's put this over here. Look, we got to get over here. And so I can get done so I can go do something joyful. Anybody have this? Let me power through the task so I can get to the relaxation point. You know, so let's get it done really intensely and focused so that we really make the most of our time so that we can go do whatever it is. But it's always like, I don't know, on to the next joyless task and the next joyless task. And then there's like a little bit of time to have a little bit of whatever. So this is an abundance blind spot of time for me, right? It's about time. Abundance can come in many ways, right? So recognizing that I was being victim to my own mindset around time and going through these activities with no joy. I don't want to live like that. So thank you, Brenly, for speaking to me the truth. But here's the thing, when we're present, it expands us, right? And when we're present, we realize any task can be joyful. And I mean truly anything can be joyful. Because we just become present to what we're doing. I think of Jeff Cushing, who whistles all the time while he works. He does. He's an amazing man. If you don't know Jeff Cushing, go in the community room sometime after service and say hello. He's an amazing guy, and he has been serving us for so many years as a volunteer, and he's been our handyman for so long, and that's where I hear him whistle all the time. But anyway, it's that idea, though, that you can indeed whistle through everything you do. You can indeed have that kind of joy, and there's no, like, moment to get to, right? It's just like, it's here now, So this is what I think we must do if we are feeling crunched by the idea of, oh, but I'm limited in my time. Then let's open up our time into the infinite now. And in the infinite now, there is everything we want and need. Peace and joy and connection and love and everything else. It does not matter a bit what it is we are up to in the moment. It's about the consciousness with which we do it. Preaching to myself. I'm glad somebody's getting something out of it. But I'm really glad I asked Brenly, because then I received. You see, we don't receive unless we ask. Ask for more information. Ask for more clarity. Ask for more understanding. And then don't get defensive. Just listen. Take it in. Let it simmer before you respond, right? And then the response is so much different. So what is it that you are working with? What is your abundance blind spot? If you consider these five, you know, I really invite you to, they're in the book, there's lists of bullet points for each of the blind spots that help you identify which ones that you're really finding more of. And I just like highlight the little bullets if they resonate for me, and then I can see which ones are, oh yeah, this is one I really want to be working with. So that's one very practical way to work with us. But for now, let's just, for this week, as we're working with these two, let's not shrink to fit our circumstances. Let's expand instead. Let's breathe spirit into ourselves and our scenarios and our relationships and everything else. And let's not sit around waiting for whatever, waiting on the sidelines, right? For something to be possible. Let's just roll up our mat. Let's take up our mat and walk. Let's get pedaling and go, right? So I invite you to affirm with me these things as we move forward this week to work together in expanding and acting. Together, I open my channel of abundance with spiritual expansion and action. And so it is.